Now we come to a further section. I don't want to speak too much. Let's continue to read chapter 1 together. 20 to 25. Praise the Lord.
Über den Häuptern der lebendigen Wesen.
It's 22. Yes, 22. Verse 22, chapter 1. And above the heads of the living creatures, there was a likeness of a firmament, like the look of an awesome crystal, stretched out over the heads. And under the firmament, their wings were spread out straight, one toward the other. Each one had two wings, which covered its body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, like the voice of the Almighty. A tumultuous noise as that of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. Whenever they stood and they let down their wings, a voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Amen. Praise the Lord. Perhaps we should read on to verse 28. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, an appearance like a sapphire stone. And seated above the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man. Also, from the appearance of his loins and upward, I saw the look of electrum, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw the appearance of fire with brightness all around it, like the appearance of a bow in a cloud on a day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So wunderbar, dass wir alle in diesen Tagen.
It's so wonderful that we all can see this vision in these days. It's excellent. I hope that this vision would work in all the churches. And I do believe that it will work. Now we come to the firmament in the heavens. The firmament. What Ezekiel saw in the beginning was very motivating. There was a whirlwind. At the first sight, it was not so clear. Then he saw the four living creatures. That was already good. If someone comes into the church, one would firstly see the four living creatures, the image of the likeness of a man. That's good. The first expression in the church really has to be such, living. And we see the oneness there of the four living creatures. And they should not be shocked to feel that it's something strange. The four living creatures are not awe-inspiring. It would be terrible if they would come here and they see a lot of lions here. Oh. Where did I end up? There are so many lions here. This is a lion's den. And they would all run away. The first impression that people get when they come to visit the church should be that they would see the four living creatures, the appearance of man, pleasant, wonderful, approachable, and that they would not be shocked. It would not be shocking to them. They would say, oh, these are normal people here in the church. When they come in and we're all screaming away, they would say, man, where did I end up? So it is very good that the first impression is the four living creatures. That's very good. Every church should have such a wonderful expression for those who come in. That's why Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when the people come to you in the meetings, come into your meetings, and everyone would be speaking in tongues. Blah, 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 beep, 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 tuk, tuk,
tuk.
And no one can understand. What are these people talking about? They would think that you're crazy. There are crazy people here. And they would run away. But if we would all prophesy with words, understandable words, and the Lord speaks in a normal way to the saints, then they would say, truly, God is in your midst. This should be the first impression. If the people see the glory of the Lord here, they must see a wonderful and normal expression. You see, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, they did not see a strange person. They saw a normal person, so patient, so gracious, so sympathetic, full of grace. Right? And full of mercy. He had sympathy with the others. He had compassion. He understands our sufferings. He was patient. Such a man, praise the Lord. The Word came flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It wasn't a strange glory. But it's not its glory from Mars or from Venus or from some other planet with a strange figure. That wouldn't be good. I believe if we had seen something like that, we would all fall on our face or run away. So it's very good that when people come, or what kind of appearance do they see? The appearance of a man. Praise the Lord. But gradually, they should realize that this work is a mighty work. The work of the Lord is not small. When Jesus was on this earth, in order to accomplish God's work, there was a great wheel. And so all the powers of darkness started stirring up through the religion. And through people, everybody was against him. But praise the Lord. we see that the Lord was mighty. He did not allow himself to be pressed down. You could not kick him around. His wisdom and his power, his word, his authority, that was awesome. That means although people come to the church and they see, oh, this is really wonderful and normal, and yet in the church they would notice such an authority of the Lord in the church. In the house of the Lord, we can not just do any old thing. Just as when we stand up and give a testimony, do not stand up and talk nonsense. That is not the Lord. The Lord would not allow that. Because in his house, actually, there's only one who speaks. Who is it? Me? Or you? Who speaks? He speaks. He speaks.
So sehen wir in alle diese wunderbare Herrlichkeit.
So we see that in this wonderful glory, do the four living creatures speak? Suddenly, the eagle spoke. The face of the eagle spoke, and quack, 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 quack. If the eagle itself would speak, no one would understand. Then the lion would roar. Then we'll all be afraid. No. That's the mystery here. It seems as if many saints are speaking. How many spoke this morning? One. That's a mystery. Oh, he cannot count. He did not study math. I'll ask the mathematician here. How many are speaking this morning? One. What kind of a mathematics is that? Can you really calculate? Sister. How many? Also one. Brothers and sisters, we count differently here in the church. We have a different mathematical rules here. Woe if I were to speak here. Or when you would speak here. How many speak here? The Lord speaks in you and through you. He speaks through the sister. Isn't that wonderful? He speaks through Roland Verdon. Who speaks in you? You have to sure and say that as sure as Paul said, you want a proof that who is speaking, namely Christ. Paul did not say, I speak, I have something to say. No, no. I have nothing to say. Neither do you have anything to say here. I don't know where else you may have something to say, but in the house of the Lord, only how many? One would speak. And so we see that these four living creatures, although there was voice like the rumbling of water, but all these noise, all this voice came from where? Like the noise of great waters. Where did this noise come from? It came from above. Praise the Lord. Do you see the vision? You have to see this vision further. We have many eyes. Yes, it's good. But what kind of eyes do we have? Swiss eyes? German eyes? Chinese eyes? Ukrainian eyes? Polish eyes? each one sees something different? How many eyes do we have? Now he has a problem. Sorry. So I don't want to confuse you. When you go back to the university, you cannot apply our mathematics here. And yet, although we have many eyes, we are the eyes of the Lord. You see what the Lord sees. Paul said, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We see what he sees. I do not want to see strange things. No. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, I just want to see and behold what you see. And I only want to see you. My eyes see everything else except the living God. But we need to have spiritual eyes that only see this wonderful Christ. Yes, we do have many eyes, but actually, they are the eyes of the Lord. But if the Lord has not worked on us and has not transformed us, if we do not exercise our spirit and we do not become spiritual men, then, yes, what do you see? So here we have spiritual eyes. The eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And so here we see that in these four living creatures, with the wheels, that's wonderful. That's a first impression of what Ezekiel saw, because it's very apparent. It's right before his eyes. Then he saw further. In verse 22, he said, and above the heads of the living creatures, there was something else. There's still something further. There's a separation there. There's an expanse, the firmament there. It's like a small heaven there. It's so wonderful. The Lord is always a little bit higher than the living creatures. You should not think, oh, the living creatures, they are the highest. No. Above all these, you still have to see something else. There is the firmament. There is something that is much holier, more glorious. That is the Lord Himself. And we have to see that in the church. Although we see all the saints here, and we exercise our spirit, and we see how wonderful there is an expression, but above that, above and beyond that, we have to see something further. In Ezekiel, as well as in the book of Ephesians, Paul talked about the church. Of course, the church is wonderful. Many people emphasize the church, but they forgot the head. Who then is above all in the church? Do remember that in the church there's something else, and there's someone who is above all. Who is the final authority here in the church in Stuttgart? The elders? The elders. There's no one else above the elders? Who? The bishop? And then who is above the bishops? The Catholics would say, oh, it's the cardinals. And who is way on the top? On the very top is the Pope. And above the Pope, there's no one. There's no one else. In the church, no. Above the heads of the four living creatures, there is a firmament. This firmament shows that our God is in a totally different realm. In a realm that no one and no one can reach. He is in another wonderful realm. We all need to see this, brothers and sisters. If we do not see this, if we here in the church only see the four living creatures as the highest, and above that there's nothing else, then we have a problem. Then we have a big problem. Have we not experienced this, brother? Do not think that when we speak about Ezekiel chapter 1, that it comes out of my concepts and fairy tales. It comes from much pain and experience, which we have gone through. And today, I'd like to tell all the saints, here in the church, there is a firmament. Praise the Lord. It is good if we have such a firmament in the church. We should not think that we have the last word. Who has the last word here? Oh, Brother Günther Jansen, he has the last word. He has nothing to say. He doesn't have the last word, not even the second last word. Second to last word. And neither do I. Every word must come from above. And you may say, oh, that is difficult. Difficult? It's not hard. Look at the wings here. And that under the firmament, the wings are stretched out over their heads. That shows that the living creatures are not flying anywhere. They're not flying above the firmament. Where could they go? Can you imagine your car goes anywhere where you don't want to go? Can you imagine you get into your car and the car suddenly would just drive on to Hamburg if you want to go to Zurich instead? That's dangerous. As an automatic driving car, it's dangerous. Now people are developing a car without a driver that would drive by itself. In the end, it will bring you to a place to which you do not want to go. Right? Then he saw, under the firmament, their wings were spread out straight. you see that when these wings are stretched forth, they would touch the firmament. That means they do not move at random as they like. Oh, let us go visit the old ones. But the four living creatures would go to Jungfrau Joch, the mountain in Switzerland. What do they want to go do in Jungfrau Joch? Why does the church in Stuttgart take a vacation, all go to Jungfrau Joch? What would you want to do there? Cool off? It's too hot here. It's burning too hot. It's too hot here. So we have to go somewhere. Otherwise, we're all burnt out. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. No, it's not like that. So that means that the wings are touching him, the firmament above, and they're waiting for the command of the Almighty God. That's why it says, when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, pop, 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 like that. How does it, what does it sound like? Like the noise of great waters. Who has such a noise? That's the voice of the Almighty. Read the verses by yourself. We do not have the time to read the verses. The voice of the Almighty. Like the noise of great waters. What do you mean? When they move, you hear the noise of great waters. How do you understand that? It means that the movement, the going on, it's not only a command of the Lord, but they carry the word of the Lord there. In the movement, they're fully one with the speaking of the Lord, with the command of the Almighty One. Here it is written, like the voice of the Almighty. That's wonderful. Wherever you go, without the word of the Almighty, without the voice of the Almighty, please stay at home. Otherwise, what would you want to do? Oh, I want to visit the church in Toronto. What do you want to do there? Oh, yes. I like to go to, what do you call that, waterfall? I want to go see the Niagara Falls. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you go to Toronto, then go with the voice of the Almighty. What did you do in Africa? It's an exercise. I have to testify. Everywhere I went, I want to go with the voice of the Lord, with the voice of the Almighty. Otherwise, I do not want to go. Otherwise, what am I going to do there? When I come to Stuttgart, what should I do? What shall I talk about? We, in the church, in our movement today, everywhere you go, if the voice of the Lord does not go with you, it's better that you stay put. The four living creatures, the glory of the Lord, is for the work of God. Do not go to Africa because you like it there. You have fun there. Did you have fun there? It was so hot. What's the temperature? How many degrees? It was always 30 degrees or above. Why did you want to go there? It's the voice of the Almighty brought you there. That's a good reason to go. Do you understand now? Do you see this wonderful vision here? We have to see that. The voice of the Almighty, like the noise of music, especially the music today, it's no music, it's just noise. Don't say, oh, they're playing music. No, they're just making some noise. Like the tumultuous noise as that of an army. That means you go there to do what? To fight for the Lord. Everywhere where this glory went, you must gain a little bit of more ground. I have no desire just to go somewhere and give a good message and then hallelujah, have some good fellowship and goodbye, and nothing happens here. Then the enemy would even say to me, goodbye, John. Come back again. It's good fellowship, but nothing happens. No matter where we go, we have to gain ground for the Lord. We don't just go there to have a good time. Oftentimes I ask, how are you doing? Oh, someone visited here. How was it? He said, oh, it was very nice. How nice? How was the conference? It was good, nice. We had a good time. I don't want to have a good time. I want to pull up my sword and chop off the head of the dragon. Is that a good time? I want to chase the enemy away. You have nothing to seek here. We are for Christ in the church. What's the use of your visit or my visit if nothing happens? It's just good fellowship and good fellowship. You have good fellowship, but the enemy is not afraid of you at all. Nothing happened. You even help him. The movement of these four living creatures is dangerous for the enemy. What is the use of a nice and good fellowship here in Stuttgart and nothing happens and we see nothing, and when we go home, we're exactly the same as before? So I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise, like a tumultuous noise as that of an army. Wonderful. That has to be the movement of the Lord in the church today. We all need to see this vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 24, it's also very nice. That also has to be the case. Look at the four living creatures that stood here a couple of days ago. The four brothers, they couldn't even hold their arms for a couple of minutes, and then their shoulders were hurting. And those were young brothers here. If I had called the older brothers here, then in 3 seconds they would have had to drop their arms. Of course, the Lord does not demand that we're always in motion, then we will truly be burnt out. Even our brother Christian here, he would be burnt out. And we were traveling day and night and always fighting, in the end, we would also be all burnt out. It's not like that. I'm very happy that these four living creatures would sometimes drop their wings. That's good. Right? No? Look at the life of our Lord Jesus. He said, everyone works during the day, and what does one do in the evening? You rest at night. We also need to be able to rest. That does not mean that here in the church we just go, 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 go. So in the end, you're so overly challenged, and then our young people would have no desire anymore. I know that the young people are fully loaded, but also learn to rest in the Lord. To rest. And even better, learn that to do everything that you do for the Lord, do it in the rest of the Lord. Many people say to me, oh, you have to hold conferences. Oh, surely you'll be very tired. Do I look tired? We have to learn to serve the Lord in His rest. All the saints in the church also have to learn to rest. To rest. Your wings always have to be stretched out? No. There are also times that you have to rest. What do you do when you rest? You go to sleep? Oh, you sleep and you rest. What is written here? When they stood still, they fell asleep. And they let their wings, and when they let down their wings, a very soft music came around, and they all slept. Is that what is written? A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. You know, brothers and sisters, the best rest is when you take time with the Lord and the Lord speaks to you. The voice would come. The Lord speaks. Rest does not mean, oh, I'll take a vacation somewhere in the Canary Islands and I'll be lying there on the beach and under the sun. Oh, what a rest. I believe when you come back, you would need another rest from the unrest. Then you come back from the beach to your bed at home. No rest. What did the Lord do? He went up the mountain by himself. What did he do? Did he take a walk? He spoke to the Father. And surely the Father spoke much to him. This fellowship brings us to rest. This fellowship brings us rest. So we need to know, brothers and sisters. That all I fell apart. Wilfried, we need a new glue. It's really so. Here we are doing a spiritual work and not a human work. We don't have a night shift and a day shift. We also really need rest in the church. But this rest really comes from your fellowship with the Lord. You need a time with the Lord. Not that you'll be always working from early in the morning until late at night, then you have no rest. No, remember, we're still people. Good. We're still human. Even the Lord, He also took time to be in the rest with the Father. This is important in the church. This is very important in the house of the Lord. And that's and we also learn that the Lord has given us a Sabbath. Why? Because the Lord knows we need rest. It's not good if we here in the church have no rest. But we have here we have the true, the real rest. Praise the Lord. But in any event, let's come back to this point. The firmament, that is important. In every church, above the four living creatures, we have a wonderful firmament, and this firmament is clear as crystal. The heaven should be, for us, the heaven should be clear. Clear as crystal. There is a separation, but it's transparent. The separation in the world and between the brothers and sisters, there is a wall. It's not transparent. Why should you see through? We are always quite extreme. We'll make a wall so you see nothing. I'll take the wall away. So everybody can see through, so we don't need the wall anymore. We just remove the wall. And we would either have a non-transparent wall or no wall at all. Isn't that the case? If I put a transparent wall there, you would ask me, John, why do you make a transparent wall? Right? With your German mind? That's how we are. But praise the Lord. This firmament, it's definitely a separation. But this separation is not there so that you will see nothing. A separation here means that He is higher. No one is like Him. But yet, God still wants us to behold Him through the separation. It's not like a human separation. In the end, you see nothing else. If I want to have a separation, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's why there's a separation. But this separation, this firmament, it's clear. Clear as crystal. Just like the New Jerusalem, everything is clear as crystal. That wonderful. Praise the Lord. In the church we have such a firmament, but we see through. We see a wonderful God. We want to see Him. Praise the Lord. And when we come to chapter 10, to the wheels. Verse 13. The wheels, and the wheels also move. As for the wheels, one called to them in my hearing. Whirl. Chapter 10, verse 11. Isn't that wonderful? I believe it's hard to find this translation, but it's really like this. Otherwise, who's driving? And who gives the command? Who is the one who called out, whirl, drive? And as you know, in today's word, we'll say, drive. Who was this? He's the one who is sitting in the driver's seat. He gave the command. He said, drive. Then the wheels moved. When he said, stop, then the wheels would stop. Isn't that good? Here in chapter 10, unfortunately, in this chapter, it's not good, because the Lord was departing. The glory of the Lord left or departed from His house, because His house was fallen. The house of Israel behaved very badly. And the glory of the Lord would depart from His house. But He left gradually, slowly. You know, the Lord really did not want to leave His house in those days. Perhaps you were a little surprised that we wrote the subtitle above verse 4, God's love for His house. Wherein would you realize that God loved for His house? He already got into the car. He wanted to leave His house already. But when he drove by the holy place again, he stopped again. He got out again. And once again, he entered into the holy place. As if he departed from his house very unwillingly. I'd like to ask you, if somebody offended you or in the house of the Lord, now I'll leave the church right away. Is that the way how you leave the church? Or how you left the church? I won't come anymore. Did God say that? Do you know in chapters 10 and 11, when God was forced to depart from His house because of the idolatry and all the evil things that they did, do not think that God would not depart from His house. He did it before and He will do it again. He left so unwillingly. He left slowly. And how quickly do we leave the house of the Lord? Just because of some minute thing, a little problem, a little difficulty, and we say goodbye. We just say goodbye, ade, adieu. You say goodbye, but do you go to God? Of course not. You would say, good riddance, I won't see you anymore. But God left his house very unwillingly. Do not think that he took it lightly. You see that the wheels move through the command of the Lord. In the last 40 years, I have seen many, many movements, but not through the command of God, but through man's command. Do this, do that, and now we do this. And there were so many movements, and in the end, it just messed up the work of God, and that caused so many problems and caused so many offenses among the saints because the movements were commanded by man. Oh, let's do this, and now we do this, and now it's the new way, that's the old way, and we'll do this new way and do this and that. And in the end, it was all amiss. Here in the churches, this should not happen to us here in the churches today. If there is a movement in the church, then the command should not come from under the firmament, because that's not high enough. If the firmament is up here, above the firmament, there's a throne. And everything that's below this firmament is not high enough for us, or not. So when we do something, and do something together in the church, the command has to come from this one, and not from anyone who thinks that he is this and he is that and everybody has to hear me. No. We all listen to him. And I'd like to tell you that the wheels only hear his voice. Praise the Lord. A long time ago, our God had already created this voice recognition. And these wheels would recognize no other voice. If Günther Jansen say, world, nothing happens. That is not the voice of the Almighty. Do you have a built-in voice recognition? Do you have a built-in voice recognition in your spirit? Whom do you hear? Oh, brother, do you hear me? Oh, brother John said that. Do you think that the spirit would recognize my voice? The Spirit will recognize no other voice. The wheels do not recognize anything else. Only the voice of the Lord. One speaks to the wheels. And who is this one? Paul? Peter? Moses? Elijah? What does this voice from above say? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. So, whom do we hear here in the church? Woe if we hear other voices. Then you would lead elsewhere where you should not go. Today we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. We hear God's voice. Hear the voice of the Spirit. He who has an ear, hear what John says to the churches, or what Paul says to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what Christian says to the churches. Yeah? If that's the case in the church, then Christian would crawl under his chair or not. No. We learn to hear the voice of the Lord in the church today. You in Africa, somebody will come and say, oh, I am the great apostle. You have to listen to me. Throw him out the window.
No.
We learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. We all have to learn this in the church today. In the past, we've had experiences. We have such experience. And so today, we should have learned this lesson. There's too much to see in this vision, right? Anna? No? What do you think? Where do we get to know this vision? From a dream? Did I dream last night? It's not that simple. But through the grace of the Lord and through our experience of the past years, we learn to see this. Oh, Lord Jesus. And one of the wheels, and as for the wheels, one called to them. And it's good that Ezekiel said, in my hearing, that means he had ears to hearing. We have to learn to hear. He who does not have an ear cannot hear. You cannot help someone to hear. But if we live in the Spirit, we would have ears to hear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for this firmament. Good, we'll stop here. And we'll continue the meeting this evening. Slowly, the conference will come to an end. And we all need to come to rest. Praise the Lord. Amen.